delegates, all delegations, I think it's time to start again. We don't have so much time left for today, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of remarks, probably also many questions to the questions that the WHO is going to present. And I see they are organizing on the screen the strategic questions, which is going to guide our debate for the rest of this agenda point. So I think I will immediately turn the floor to the WHO. WHO, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. So we would suggest that maybe to take some structure of the discussion so that we could also take an outcome or sort of an outcome or suggestions from this committee to the Commission. So we've just tried to put five questions or issues or whatever you want to say up there. And actually, in the interventions already now, some of them have been covered, I would say. So the first one is this suggestion for a shift from objective one to two and three. And I think most interventions here were saying, yes, we should be moving, but we have to watch out that we don't miss the increased participation, you know, also. So there is some caution, but I think there is a general thrust towards moving in that direction. And then in relation to what we have as number two, what is the niche for CTF? I mean, we're saying this question because there are lots of players out there that are supporting, you know, scientific advice strengthening, and that was also mentioned by several people here. So we have to make sure that what we are linking the moving to two and three for technical participation, it really relates to codex meetings. So we're not trying to go out and do some general capacity building in improving laboratory services or toxicological investigations or things like that. We are really trying to focus them on something that links to codex participation. So I think that was also stated by several people here. Number three is about, would there be suggestions for a mechanism to continue to support some of these countries who need it the most, but maybe also to support some of the countries that have graduated? Yeah. And I think that was also in the question. It doesn't say that here, but I heard coordinator Latin America mention the suggestion that maybe there could be some, you know, support for tickets to meetings or things like that. So that could be maybe some new thinking of the trust fund. Maybe we could get it in some sort of direction from the Commission saying, yes, we understand all this, but maybe you could also be a little bit more flexible with these things. So that was in number three, has also already been mentioned here. Then number four and five, I don't think that anybody has referred to them. Number four is, should we look at the criteria for allocation of support, and should we reconsider these criteria? And number five is extension of the lifespan. And these two in some way link to each other. Because if at this stage, after 6 years, we say we don't think that this job will be done after 12 years, and we know that the original setting was 12 years, if we say it should go on for some time limit after the 12 years, if we say that, then we should also definitely consider how do we reconsider the criteria, because or else we will really skew towards the very poor countries, because the countries that have already graduated will then miss out on the next 6 years also, just to make one clear argument why these two things are linked together. So I would say, you know, we have some indication already from this meeting about one and two. We have at least one suggestion for three, especially in relation to physical participation of countries that have graduated, because that's also what we want to know. And maybe if we could have some sort of indication from this meeting about extension and reconsideration of criteria, I think that would be most helpful if the committee could actually give something to the Commission so that the Commission could give clear advice back to the trust fund. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I think it would be the best way to handle this discussion if we take them one by one would make it a lot easier to draw conclusions. And as WHO has just mentioned, there has been several remarks on some of the first questions and not on the last one. But I think we should take them one by one. Are there any further comments on the issue of shifting emphasis from objective 1 to 2 and 3? If there are additional comments on that one, I think we should take them. And I see the flag of the member from Asia. Asia, please.
This in the present midterm review, it's not indicated, but in the previous two consultants' review, it was indicated that the staff of the trust fund codex, trust fund is insufficient to manage the what is needed. So I think this should be. Should be added to somewhere, because it's very important that how the Codex Trust Fund Secretariat can work properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Asia. Are there other comments from the committee on question number one, shift in emphasis? Or can we stick to the conclusion that the WHO just mentioned that there seems to be a general overall support to the idea of actually shifting emphasis? I think it's not time to draw the conclusion because the member of Europe has asked for the vote. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just reiterate the comment I made before about Objective 3, which is about the way I read it, and again, I would look to the beneficiaries of the trust fund maybe to consider that not. But Objective 3 seems to be more around capacity building and looking at other programs that FAO, WHO might contribute, other programs, existing programs, sorry, that already contribute to that capacity building element of it. So I have no objection, as it were, to shifting the emphasis, but we just need to decide where the balance of the emphasis goes. Should it go to 2 and 3 equally, or are there other programs which can contribute to Objective 3, which might not necessarily need to take the funds away from the trust fund? So that was just a kind of observation.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Other comments? Member for Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The suggestion that I wanted to make with regard to the first point is the following. In many countries today, where there's a contact point and the national committees are working properly, they already have some experience in knowing what their priorities should be. So I think we could ask each country to decide for themselves. If they feel they've reached a certain level of participation, which makes it then possible for them to cover their own airline ticket, and that they feel that there are some priorities there, then I think that they could pinpoint that as a project to do, and that would make it easier. One would see what project the country has undertaken. So the country itself would make a choice as it is evolving, as it moves ahead. Of course, there will be countries that still will need support and ask for support in order to attend the meetings. But there will be others who have already had some experience and who will ask instead to improve their participation by having the capacity to prepare their data or such. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Africa. I see Vice Chair Davé has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is certainly a good idea to have a more emphasis on the shift, but to create awareness about codex in many countries which is still lacking, we might still like to continue partly with the objective one, which is to increase the participation, because there is a sheer lack of awareness about codex in many countries. With regard to the shift, I would suggest that we lay more emphasis on shifting to objective two as compared to objective three, because it is equally important, apart from participation, is to have a meaningful participation from the countries, with the right people coming to the meetings, understanding the issues involved. This is extremely important to improve the participation. Coming to the third objective, we agree it is important, but it seems it might be still a little premature at this point of time, because there is a lack of scientific research in most beneficiary countries at this point of time. It might be useful to follow a transfer of research in the reverse direction, that is, taking scientific research to these countries rather than bringing scientific research from these countries to the codex, because it is lacking there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Microphone, please, sir. The chair didn't have his microphone on before. Thank you, Chairman. We agree in moving towards objective two. In order to do that, I think we need to talk about effective participation and how it can be measured, how it can be assessed, and see about the countries that are already graduated. And perhaps once we could take up this idea, that is not 100% support, but that we can find ways and means through which we can support graduated countries or partially support them partially and assess the effective participating in at the meetings. I think that is necessary to make sure that the progress obtained is sustainable, that is being done, all the efforts that are being done through this trust fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator, for Latin America. Are there other remarks? That doesn't seem to be the case. Then I will try very cautiously to draw a conclusion that we could pass on to the CIC. My suggestion would be that we write in the report that a shift from the very strong focus on objective one to more focus on two and three is overall recommended by the executive committee, but it has to be done in a cautious way, because participation is still considered to be important by the executive committee in general. In addition to this, it has to be mentioned that many delegations focus on agenda or objective two, which says that we should look at the, say, quality of participation, the effect of participation, which is described as enhancing the effect of participation, while objective three, there are certain worries about taking resources out of the trust fund to use for purposes which might as well or might better be done by other bodies with which the trust fund coordinates. For example, WHO and FAO, who do that kind of capacity building already. That would be my suggestion for conclusion. I hope I have taken on board the general picture of interventions in this committee. I don't see any objections. If that is the case, this is my conclusion on point one of the discussion. Then we immediately turn to question number two. If yes to the above, what is the niche for the Codex Trust Fund? Do we have any further remarks on that in addition to what has already been mentioned in the general round of interventions with which we started this agenda point? I see a flag from the member from North America, please.
Yeah, I guess we're a little slow over here. Can you just explain what that means, what the niche, what is the actual, what are the questions that we're looking for here?
It's another dinosaur.
Thank you, North America. I think I will refer that question to the WHO, please.
Yeah, the issue was that, I mean, it would have been better covered together with one, but the issue was that if we go to 2-3, especially to 3, it's technical, helping with the technical scientific advice. So we know, as has been mentioned by many different here, that this is being covered by a number of different areas. So if CTF wants to move in there, what is the niche? And I think it has sort of already been answered from member of Europe and maybe also some others here, that we should not just move to 3. We should focus mainly on 2. And then in some cases, we might focus on 3, but maintain that it should be related to Codex participation. That would be the niche out of the bigger picture of trying to do capacity building for scientific advice, because that's a lot bigger than Codex issues. Is that clear? Or semi-clear?
I choose clear. I hope delegations agree to that. And I think, I guess that more or less answers the question number two, which what the WA has just explained. It fits perfectly into the intervention that we have heard and the conclusions we were drawing on question number one. So, but obviously, if there are any further questions or remarks to that intervention, then we will take them. The advisor from Africa has asked for the floor. Please.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps just in addition to this, the answers that has been given, it will also be beneficial in future if we have any evaluation. Perhaps one of the key question could be to evaluate why that effective participation still remains a problem in the next stages. Because I think that's a key question we have. We are trying to put in, to bring in participation. Right now, we have evaluated to say that the participation itself is still needed, at least the quality of participation. Now, if in the next stage of the evaluation we are not passing, it's better that the study goes and sees why this quality participation has not been achieved. And that will help to solve how to be able to go forward. I hope the Chair has been able to understand my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor for Africa. Yes, I think I have understood, and I also am sure that the WHO has taken the remarks on board for and remember them for the further considerations about possible future evaluations. I see the flag from the member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We would agree with what the representative of WHO says in terms of the capacity building under Objective 3. My colleague, the advisor from North America, mentioned earlier when we were talking about recommendation six, that there are other organisations such as the APEC Food Safety Cooperation Forum that is doing capacity building in risk assessment and those types of activities. And part of their objectives is also harmonisation with Codex International Standards. So it might be worthwhile to note in respect of this particular question that while we see the niche for the CTF to be in capacity building in specific codex-related activities, but they might also look at partnerships or other activities that they could leverage off as well, particularly things like, as I say, the APEC, Food Safety Cooperation Forum.
Thank you, Member for Southwest Pacific. I'm sure that those remarks, those points has been noted and taken on board by the WHO for their further work on how to administrate the trust fund. And I see the FAO has asked for the floor. Please.
Thank you, Chairman. I would just like to emphasize the need to be somewhat more specific as to training, capacity building to facilitate the participation at Codex. I would just recall here that the FAO and WHO have, upon request, developed a capacity building course, a training course on this precisely, and I think that that would be important in order to be more effective, to really meet objective two. Of course, in the light of what has been reached so far already in the capacity building efforts, and build upon that to go further, as Africa's advisor was saying, to see what lessons have been learned for further strengthening the committees, and then to be able to be more precise in really defining this niche for the trust fund. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. I don't know if it is possible today to be more precise about defining that niche, but I'm sure the comments will be taken on board for further consideration in how to proceed with the administration of the trust fund. I don't see any other flags on this point, so I take it that we have decided on the conclusion, which is based on the explanation from the WHO, and I'm sure that the Secretariat has taken due note of that. So we can continue to question number three, a mechanism to continue to support physical participation to those who need it most. Do we have any remarks on that, a mechanism to continue to support physical participation for those who need it most? What should we recommend is the question. That does not seem to be much question. Maybe North America has the clue. We could try. North America, please.
Thank you. I think it was mentioned by one of the previous speakers, a number of other organizations that do work. And I can speak to IECA in particular, which is the I never know what it is, Inter-American something or other, but anyway, it operates in North and South America, North, Central, and South America. And we've had a program with them to provide support to member countries to attend meetings. And it has included, a selection of people who may come from countries that have already graduated. And secondly, preparation, training, activities to help them become more effective. I won't say that we're at perfection yet, but that's our objective, and I think we plan to continue that. And I think that AUIBAR was mentioned, and there may be other parts of the other organizations. I think we have to look for these kinds of things because I think we're, as my advisor has said, we're all the governments are hard pressed for funds right now. So we have to start looking at ways that we can make our dollars stretch a little bit more and look for these other organizations that have already an infrastructure. I mean, that's what is good about AICA, is that they are located in every country in North and South and Central America. So there's somebody there to help with it, and that's really important.
Thank you, Member for North America. WHO has asked for the floor, please.
I think it would be a good idea to make sure that we have at least some sort of coherent picture of all these different sources. So I think I would take it from this intervention that it might be a good idea for the Codex Trust Fund to actually actively go out to these different mechanisms and find out what are you supporting, how much is that, and who is supporting. And then we could also have that discussion about objective 2-3. You know, are you supporting a lot more in that technical support area? You know, and if you do, then let's just at least put the picture together so we can see everything. But I still think I would also remind you that coordinator Latin America mentioned before we got into the specific questions that there could also be maybe new ways of treating the funds in a more flexible way, so that it could be that we could support some of the countries that need it the most but have graduated in relation to support to tickets, you know, or something like that. So that would be a new way of doing it, because if we follow the rules according to the letter, we are not allowed to do that because we have the criteria. But if the executive committee and then the commission advise us, you should look at a way of getting to some of the graduated countries that need it the most. It could be the smallest economies or other criteria. You should try to find that. So if that was an advice to the trust fund, I think that would also be a way of at least getting back to some of these countries that have been left in the dark.
Thank you, WHO. Are there any responses to what WSO? I think basically, obviously, the remark on gathering more information about who else gives support to direct participation in the Codex is a very good idea to get the best picture. A few elements are already mentioned in the report, which I'm sure everybody has noticed, but if there might be more, it should be included in the overall investigation of how to handle this. But there were some further considerations mentioned by the WHO. I see Vice Chair Dabe has asked for the floor. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee might like to consider to earmark a percentage of the trust fund amount for countries grouped under 1A and 1B, say 60% of the total amount could be earmarked for countries falling under 1A and 1B, and the remaining 40% could be further earmarked for other groupings. That might help to increase a funding support to the countries that need it the most. Thank you.
WHO has a response, WHO, please.
Yeah, it's just that this is exactly what we are doing now. So, and it has been like that since we started the trust fund, that 60% goes to 1A and 1B. So here we are talking about the countries that have been left out because they have graduated. So it should have said a mechanism to continue to support countries that have graduated, and these of them that need it the most, because maybe we don't need to support China or even India,
because they are huge economies, and whether we can actually support half a ticket for an additional participant wouldn't really mean anything to China, who would come to a meeting with 23 people anymore. So then we will have 23.5, you know, I mean, what? So the idea was that there are a number of the countries that have graduated that are very small economies, and even if they might have a high level of gross national product per person, actually they don't have a lot of funds to go to Codex meetings. So if we could be a little bit more flexible and go to these countries, not to the Chinas and the Indias, but maybe to the St. Kitts and, you know, and if the executive committee and then the commission says, please try to find some more flexible way of supporting them, we could do it from next year. You know? Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. Member for Europe has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you, Chair. Slightly hesitant to make an intervention. Just looking at it objectively, I think the FAO referred earlier to work where the support was focused on areas which were of particular interest to regions or countries, unless I misunderstood. But I think you referred to work in South America around some particular topic. I think it's important from a strategic point of view that we do support countries who need it the most, bearing in mind the ability and capacity to self-fund. But at the same time, where we do provide that support to graduated countries, we may look at further criteria to say, well, you've graduated, but are there any particular areas where you feel you'd like the focus to be, rather than the broad spectrum of all Codex work? So that's just... That's not even a proposal. It's just an observation, because as I say, I'm slightly hesitant to get involved. But that's one idea that might be thought about. But again, you need to consult with those countries who you might be funding on those in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Europe. I don't see. There is one more flag. Coordinating Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposal would be the following, but I think we're going around in circles a bit. But the Latin American proposal would be that we request the Commission to have more flexible ways and means to look for funds for the trust fund through partial help, through purchasing tickets, etc., and perhaps be somewhat more strict as to how these requests are treated. That we make sure that there is a national health system, that we take into account previous participation, and that we assess and monitor a bit what happens after participation. The country came, did it participate actively in the meeting, or did it just sit through the meeting? What benefits has the country gained from his or her participation? And then I think with all of that in mind, we would have more information, better data to be able to take a better decision as to whether we want to extend the lifespan of the trust fund, which is 0.5 here on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. Member for North America has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you. I was just looking through the surveys, and I do think it's important to note, by the way, because there was some emphasis that we only interviewed 12 countries. Well, that's true, but there was also a survey to fill in additional data. So it isn't just that we have information from 12 countries. And I was sort of looking through that because it struck me that we say we need a mechanism to continue to support physical participation. Now, our assumption is that finances are the biggest problem, and probably that is a big problem. But I was just wondering if perhaps those of you who had a chance to look at this result more could, if there were any other obstacles or barriers that were identified in this that weren't actually finance or were other reasons why they weren't participating that would be helpful in this discussion. We make sure that we're targeting what the real problem is or at least targeting the whole problem. So that's just a question because I didn't see anything. It didn't jump out at me, but I thought perhaps there might be something there.
Thank you, North America. Seems like a good question in the bigger picture, I think. Member for Asia has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hesitating to raise a flag. But I think for the implementation of the Codex practice in each country, it's very important that the Codex care the person who participated in the meeting, you see. So in my past, the experience with working with developing countries, it's very important that the country which benefits from this trust fund recognizes that the Codex cares the person who participated in this meeting. And sometimes, for example, one person attends a Codex meeting and they go back, and they are isolated, and they cannot. These persons are often very weak in position, so they cannot push the way forward. So I think it's very important that the Codex makes the beneficiary countries recognize or that Codex cares the person who participated. So for this, I think the function of the trust fund secretariat, somebody has to take care of this work some continuously. So in that way, I am asking whether the capacity of the secretariat of Codex Trust Fund is sufficient or not. And the SRAC, I forgot which corner, but the use of the consultants to follow up doing such kind of things. So I think the somebody should care that who participated the meeting. So I think the such mechanism is very important to implement. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Asia. I think that the comment you're making or the idea you're launching fits quite well into focusing more on Objective 2, which we're discussing. That's one issue. The other issue is obviously whether the secretariat of the trust fund has the capacity to do the follow-up at the level of the trust fund. But that's an issue that should be answered by the trust fund secretariat, which I certainly do not have any opinion about. But I think before we give the WHO an opportunity to make a comment on that, if they wish, the member from North America has asked for the floor again. Please.
Okay, this will be the last time. Well, just sort of continuing along this line, what basically we're saying is that it's important that countries understand the value of Codex, that when a person goes to a Codex meeting and comes home, the country should appreciate the value of that. And when you do that, if the country appreciates the value, that increases the possibility that the country is going to start supporting Codex a little bit more. And it kind of fits into number five, where we're talking about expanding extension of the lifespan and how do we find ways to support Codex. Part of it is probably, this is a question we get a lot from countries, developing countries. Well, how do I get my government to support Codex? And I say, well, you've got to do something that's important to your government. And that means getting the codex, the people when they go to codex meetings, to go to the meetings and deal with the issues that are really important to their government. And that's an important part of the capacity building that's been done. Important to continue focusing on that. Because I think we do need to get these countries to provide more support, all the countries, and we have the same problem, to provide support to their codex delegates so that it takes some of the burden off of the trust fund. So I think that's a very important point.
Thank you, North America. I think you're just emphasizing and supporting what was said by the member from Asia, and I think it again. To me, it fits perfectly well into the general recommendation of this committee to focus more on Objective 2, which is enhancing the participation in codex, which has a lot of elements, a lot of requirements if you really be efficient. And obviously, this has to be taken on board as a conclusion. But I don't know if WHO has any particular response to the issue of the say the capacity of the Secretariat of the Trust Fund to handle that, and I think that was also the issue that was mentioned by the coordinator from the Near East already a long time ago, that we need to consider how to implement it if we recommend that emphasis is shifted from Objective 1 to 2 and 3. WHO, please.
Yeah, I think it's part of the discussion of going towards 2 and away from 1. The Codex Trust Fund Secretariat at the moment doesn't have the capacity to go out and monitor in 120 countries how Codex is implemented. On the other hand, that's not necessary because a number of these countries that have been supported have very efficient systems, and we don't need to go out and look further into that. We don't need to go out to China or Argentina or any of these other countries. But there are some countries where they could clearly benefit from some help from the Codex Trust Fund Secretariat. And that is the intention of the Codex Trust Fund Secretariat, to focus on some countries from a general standpoint where we say these countries really need additional help. Of course, we will then have long discussions next year and the year after that why we selected these countries and not these countries. We know that. We know that we will be under attack for that. But the idea is to do exactly that, but not to do it for 120 countries. And I think most people here would agree that we should not do it for 120 countries. But we have to be able to explain when we come back to you with this, and that you want to hear whether we have actually implemented this. We have to be able to explain how did we select the countries. I think we will be able to do that. And then we have to move forward and tell you what is the experience from helping these few countries over the next year, and then we can take the experience to more countries after that. I think we have to start small. We can't do it for all the countries, especially not with the small size of the Codex Trust Fund Secretariat. Of course, you could also put lots of money into the Secretariat and then it would be fine. But I would actually I would advise against that. I think the Secretariat has the right size at the moment and we can do the things that we are set up to do. Thanks.
Thank you, WHO. I see no more flags. And in consequence, I will try to draw a conclusion on this question number 3 on the board. I think what I hear from delegations is that we recommend to the trust fund to look into ways of developing a bit more flexible criteria for the selection of countries. And it has been emphasized that if more support is given to graduated countries, it has to be on a basis where it is proved or indicated that they actually need support, despite the fact that they have already gone through the process and are graduated. So there's a flexibility. So we recommend that the trust fund would look into achieving that goal of a more flexible, at the same time as still is focused on the countries most in need, which has been emphasized by many delegations. And we also draw the conclusion that shifting emphasis to, in particular, Objective 2, would require certain changes in the management of the trust fund. That means it would make new requirements to the Secretariat, which will also be looked into, certainly not for the purpose of building a huge new organization, but it has consequences, and we need to be aware of that. That should be part of the report, too. Is that a conclusion that the committee can accept? I don't see any angry reactions, so I take it to be accepted. Thank you all for that. Well, maybe I was too fast. Coordinator for Latin America, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to add something. We missed out the part about considering different criteria for eligibility for countries. In other words, we will consider the background of the country and the criteria for country requests. There will also be monitoring following participation. This was suggested by me a few minutes ago, and I don't know if it was not actually taken on board by the chairman or if it was just omitted unintentionally. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America. Certainly, I did not have any intention of omitting that point, but I think it will be included in the discussion on point four on the part. So it's, you could take it under both. I admit that, but I would suggest it. But it is certainly not the intention to leave out that point. That would be part of the conclusion, and I think we take it under four. And concerning point four, I would like to suggest that for the purpose of time preservation or preserving time, we don't have much time left for this agenda point. I would suggest that we take four and five together to see if we can manage them a bit faster than if we take them one by one. We certainly need to move forward on this agenda point. So I would like to open the floor to anybody who has comments on question number four, reconsideration of the criteria for allocation of the report, and, well, the fundamental question, extension of the lifespan of the trust fund. Should it end after the planned period, or should it be continued after that period? So, please, delegates, response to these two questions. I hope you can be brief, and then we will try to draw some conclusions. Member for Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur Le Président.
Thank you, Chairman. I am not entirely sure that I've understood question number four, because I did understand well the criteria within the document for classifying countries, the criteria of the United Nations organizations, and if we try changing those, we might lose all meaning in those criteria. As I understood, we were seeking to put in place flexibility for countries who were most in need, either those countries in countries in classes 1, 2, or 3, in any case. And the fact that there might be countries who are not necessarily covered under that, but which might deserve support, I didn't entirely understand in any case. As far as number 5 is concerned, I do believe that there is a need to extend the trust fund, focusing, however, on the goals which have not yet been achieved, particularly under Objective 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Africa. I think this is a technical issue that obviously we should make sure that we all understand precisely the question. So I think before I give the floor to the coordinator for Latin America, I'd like to WHO to explain, because there might be other delegations who are a bit in a limbo of what is the exact meaning of that question. WHO, please.
Yeah, it's a little bit what we discussed before, that we are not intending to change any of the UN criteria in relation to economies or social development. They are still there, and you will be in the box that you are placed by the UN system. But the consideration was, for instance, what I mentioned before, that even if you have a country with a very high gross national product per person, it might be a very, very small economy. We have some of these countries with 50,000 people. It means that even if you have a high level of relatively high level of development, you have very little money to actually go to Codex meetings. So should we be flexible and say, so we will support them more than China and India? Maybe we have to ask China and India. But the idea was we could be flexible in that way, so we don't have to change the boxes or where the countries are in the boxes, but we could use other criteria like that. We have already, maybe I can say that between parentheses, we've already started doing that a little bit with some very, very small island countries where we didn't think that anybody would object to it. But maybe we could do that more if the committee suggests that that's a good way forward. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I think that clarified very precisely the question that was asked by the member of Africa, at least. To me, it was a clear explanation. Next speaker is the coordinator for CCLAC, please.
Gracias.
Thank you, Chairman. Concerning question four, I think this has already been broadly covered. As for five, it seems to me that we will not be in a position to take a decision at this point, since the reports that we have received do not set out the information required to enable us to decide whether or not to extend the lifespan of the trust fund. Since the only thing we see in these reports is the number of countries that have received support and numbers that haven't, there is nothing referring to effective participation to encourage donor countries to continue with donations to this trust fund. We don't see any information about the monitoring of the trust fund, and we wouldn't therefore want to voice a position as to the extension or not of it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America. Clear points. Coordinator Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In respect to number four, I'd like to make the following proposal, that we have a multi-tier classification, maybe two-tier classification. The first one based on country groupings, which is what we are practicing now, and the second one based on the matched funds or other criteria that the managers of the fund will find as useful in identifying people. So we have two, the country groupings and then a second grouping linked to the process that has been started already. In the report on page 38, there's some discussion about the matched funding and its performance, and it looks like some countries have done very well, and there are others that have smaller populations that have been discussed there. So we should have this multi-tier, the country groupings, which is what we are doing now, and a second group that you would develop the criteria for eligibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. I think we should ask the WHO to maybe comment on that proposal from the Coordinator of Africa. Please, WHO.
No, that's a very good proposal, and I think it's something that we can easily implement, and we can also describe how we're doing that, and that would be in line with some of the suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. And the member for Europe, Saskia, the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to reiterate a comment I made earlier, in terms of the extension of the lifespan, as on my mathematics, midterm review means the trust funds run for 6 years. It's got another 6 years to run. I think an evaluation should not be carried out at the end of the trust fund program, so it should start a couple of years before that. However, I do agree with, according to Latin America, that in that evaluation, there should be an evaluation and assessment of how countries who have benefited from the trust fund have actually participated and the improvements that it's made to their national systems, or at least their participation in CODEX. So I would strongly agree with that that view. But indeed, the evaluation, you know, still maybe 4 years hence, but it needs to start before the end of the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Vice Chair Davey has asked for the floor. No, Ben Manindo, sorry.
I keep changing.
My name is Chairman. I just wanted to also to comment on the extension of the lifespan. Given that this is just a midterm evaluation, I don't know whether it would be prudent for us to pronounce ourselves on that particular question. I think we still have a little bit more time to refine the program and see how far we move. We also need to note, Mr. Chairman, that there are some countries who have just come on the program recently, and it would be unfair for us, I think, if we left them on the way before they attained the required objective of this program. So these two must be taken into consideration when we are deciding whether we should really extend the lifespan from 12 years onwards. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Manindo. Other comments from delegates? That doesn't seem to be the case, so I will dare try drawing a conclusion. That would be that the Davey, please. This left side is tricking me all the time. Something.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, for taking the floor again. While it might be true that there might be some countries which have not graduated or are in the non-graduated group may not really need the support, without naming the names of countries, but we need to certainly consider developing flexible criteria to support countries that are small but have graduated. There may be, similarly, there may be countries which have not graduated but they do not need the support. So we need to have flexible criteria, clearly laid down criteria, for deciding on these aspects. With regard to the lifespan, true, we might still need support for the countries that need it the most. And the Trust Fund Secretariat might consider, FAO and WHO might consider, increasing the percentage of such needy countries from maybe 60% to 75%, because it is they who need the funds more. Lastly, on the selection of individual persons, the criteria should be a little more defined in terms of the background of the person who intends or the country intends to depute to a Codex committee meeting. How long has he been in that position or working for that job? And the likelihood of his continuing there. We've seen people who have been working in different countries, working in Codex, but suddenly we find after 6 months he's shifted to Sports Ministry or Family Planning Ministry. It doesn't really help the country in the long run. So we need to see the long-term plan of a country, and particularly of that individual likely to be in position for their job. So these kinds of criteria need to be further refined. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Davey. Any more comments from delegates, WHO? Yes or no? Yes, please.
It was just in relation to the last thing. I think it's we get into very dangerous territory if we want to consider the background of all participants in Codex meetings. I mean, even a country selected me to go to a Codex meeting. You can just see, you know, what I mean. What would you get out of that? I mean, it's very dangerous. We are monitoring that people are actually working in the food safety area. You cannot be supported by the Codex Trust Fund. But going further, so we can't have the president's brother or son-in-law go to a meeting when they are not involved in food safety. So we are making sure that is not happening, and that has never happened, as far as we know. But going further into what the background is, how long you want to stay in the position, or whether you actually came from I don't know what, I think it will be very difficult. And I mean, you could just think about yourselves here. Okay, maybe that was a joke that wasn't funny.
Thank you, WHO. I'm not going to make any judgment on whether it was fun or not. That's up to everybody. I try again to make a conclusion. I think we can conclude from the debate on this on these two questions altogether that, first of all, the UN criteria system is not going to be changed. It is there, and it is still the backbone of the selection procedure. On top of that, we recommend that the trust funds develop more flexible criteria in their judgment or administration of the basic criteria, which enables them both to give support to countries who might have graduated but are still in need, and also a flexibility in the amount of support a country gets depending on the needs, because that might be very different in the same country group. Concerning the extension of the trust fund, it is pointed out that it is very likely that there is a need for an extension, but before any final decision is taken, there should be further evaluation of the work, and I think that has been requested by several. So I think the combination might be a good solution or a good conclusion on this point. Concerning the criteria, which should be more flexible, at the same time, we ask the trust fund to still develop clear criteria so that it is transparent to everybody on which criteria selection is based, because if that is not the case, the trust fund might run into further problems, further criticism on who is getting support and what kind of support, which size of support are they going to get. Are those conclusions acceptable to the committee? I hope I have encaptured the sense of the opinions being expressed. Nobody seems to be against it, so that is my ruling. It concludes like I suggested. That means we have finalized, I think, the midterm review, and we have some recommendations. North America, again. North America, please.
Well, I'm just curious about how we're going to proceed from here. I think this has been an interesting discussion, but it's been a discussion basically based on a very short presentation and five questions, with most of us not able to really read the report and to bring any kind of depth to the discussion. So I'm just wondering what the plans are. We've got today's meeting, and we're making recommendations, I guess, to the executive committee based on this conversation, and then, I mean, to the commission, and then the commission will maybe have a discussion. Then what happens? I mean, this was not an inexpensive venture, so I think it's important that we make sure that we use it properly. So I'm curious to know what are our plans after the commission meeting?
Thank you. Number four, North America. First, I would like to say that I think that the report will describe to the CAC that this debate that we've had in the Executive Committee is based on a report that came very late, which delegations didn't have a chance to read in depth, and that has to be taken on board when you consider the recommendations that come from here. That is a general remark on the process that we have been passing. Secondly, we give the advice from this committee that we have concluded on the different points here, and we give that as an advice from the Executive Committee to the CAC, which is obviously going to discuss that, and they may change the opinions that we have reached here. That is normal procedure, that we don't have any guarantees that our recommendations are actually being accepted and taken on board by the Commission. That is the process, I would say, up to the Commission and in the Commission. But what happens after the Commission has had the discussion and drawn their conclusion, I think I should ask the WHO to give a comment on that one, because that is basically the business of the trust fund administrators, the WHO and the FAO. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to say that we envisage that there will be a continued process also after the CAC going into the regional committees, so there will be possibility of also discussing this in regional committees. The reasoning is also that we know that there has been discussion before in regional committees about some of these things, so it does make sense to go to regions and say, you know, this is the review, what are your comments? But I think that the comments from this committee and then hopefully something out of the Commission would be very helpful in that discussion, because some of these comments will tie to that we have already discussed, is kind of synthesizing issues into how should we then change for the future, which becomes a little bit more clear, I think, to the regional committees when they can actually read the outcome of the Executive Committee and hopefully also of the Commission. So I think we are helping the discussion in the regional committees by this work and then moving forward through more thorough deliberations in these regional committees, coming back again here later.
Thank you, WHO. And I think that these explanations from the WHO should be taken on board in the reports for information for the Commission. I think that might be helpful for the further proceedings, because there will be many other delegations in the CAC who will ask exactly the same questions as the North American member was asking. So the conclusion is that we take this explanation on board. I think that will be helpful for the further proceeding. That seems to be acceptable to the committee. That means, delegates, that we have finalized this agenda point, and I just need 30 seconds for consultations with my bureau colleagues before we continue. Please. Please, delegates, I close the meeting for today, and we will meet again tomorrow at 9:30, as scheduled in the plan, and we have 3 more hours tomorrow to finish the agenda, and we will start with agenda point 7B, which is matters arising from FAO and WHO, and I hope we can do that speedily tomorrow so we have good time for the rest agenda points. We have some interesting points on other business that we need to have time to discuss, so I really urge that we all think about being brief in our discussions tomorrow. So thank you very much for efficient participation and good order, and enjoy your evening in Geneva. I see the weather's very nice outside, so there's a good opportunity for a walk in a beautiful city. Have a nice evening. Thank you.